In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Of a clap.
That was a good clap.
Okay, Cassie, I have a treat for you.
All yes.
Right. Welcome back. Welcome to the Creep Dive. I'm
Cassie
White.
Delaney. Sophie White and Jen O-D-W-Y-E-R. It has honestly been, I'd say, a year since we introduced ourselves.
Easily.
And they know who we are.
But I think it's a little unwelcoming to those who are joining us and who we appreciate very much. Thank you. If this is your first ever episode of the Creep Dive, strap on your strap-on and get ready to peg teeth.
They actually might know who we were if they came via the recommendation on Laura Whitmore's podcast, because I was written out of the story entirely. The guests spoke about the Creep Dive and Jen and Sophie and what Jen and Sophie do to make the Creep Dive so special, and Jen and Sophie's production company, Tall Tales, and how great Jen and Sophie are.
They did.
I haven't listened to it.
They just wrote me out of the story entirely. And like the guests were going along with it. At no point did someone stop and be like, there's a third person in that. Then they played a clip and no one was like, who's the third person? Laura Whitmore has appeared on Before Brunch, my other podcast. Wrote me out of it entirely. So now, for two reasons, we're enemies. And secondly, she's named her child Stevie Nicks, apparently. And I wanted to name my child Stevie Nicks.
That's absolutely brilliant. You've been demoted to simply a recurring character, while Jen and I are still top billing as starring Jen O'Dwyer and Sophie White.
Congrats on the production company and making it a full-time gig, guys. That's really, they loved that. They loved it.
Thank you. But Cassie,
it's amazing how easy running a production company is.
I can't believe it.
I haven't had to do anything yet. Whole production company. Okay, Cass, here's my treat for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't stream BBC last night.
Oh, no.
And I don't even know if I care anymore about this series of Line of Duty. Jed has let me down.
Let everybody down.
And so I thought it would be fun if you would like to tell me who H is live on the podcast.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for anybody who's watching Line of Duty who didn't watch it last night. It was so utterly disappointing. It was the guy with the curly hair. I can't even remember his name. He's that minor character.
Not James Nesbitt.
No, it's the dumb fuck who Joe tried to frame.
Buckles.
Well.
But we don't really believe. It was the most disappointing. Buckles was brought into the room and he was all no comment this and no comment that. And I was like, I am not here for this no comment bullshit. And then everyone on Twitter was like, oh, because Buckles was like, there is no big left guy left. It's just me passing on information. Like, it's not this mad organized thing. And then they were like, maybe the fourth man is just the fact that all police officers are corrupt. And here we go. And this is the world we live in. And everyone on Twitter was like, this is just too real. I wanted a dramatic ending. I wanted it to be Hastings. I wanted it to be Carmichael. I wanted it to be James Nesbitt. Like, it was such a poor finale.
I am disgusted. I told my friend Lisa that if it was disappointing, I was going to hit the roof. I was going to walk out into the street and take a dump.
You should do that.
In the middle of the road.
It's so disappointing. There was this great picture on Twitter that everyone was sharing, and it was like this beautiful sketch line drawing of a horse done like photorealistic, and then someone had tried to finish it and just drawn a child's horse head, and that was it. It was Line of Duty. It was this stunning, stunning program, and then it was just this 3-year-old's version of a finale.
What a letdown.
That is amazing. Yeah. And I am so disappointed. Now I do have a question. Did James Nesbitt actually have to come along and act any scenes?
No.
Because you know the way he's appeared in a photograph so far.
No.
What?
He confirmed dead. Confirmed that body was James Nesbitt. Confirmed dead.
How much did James Nesbitt?
They did a DNA analysis and confirmed dead. Senor Nesbitt dead. Bit. Yeah.
That is. What?
Yeah.
Why would you draft in James Nesbitt?
Just
use him as a photograph.
The only satisfying bit was that poor little Joe. So they were like, Joe, you can go into witness protection if you just identify who the fourth man is. But she wouldn't give it up, but then still went into witness protection and lives in this gorgeous cottage in the countryside. That was the only, that little snippet of property porn was the only enjoyable bit of the episode. Everyone's
raging. Thickening.
Now, lots of people are going to reach out and give out to me, because last time we talked about Line of Duty, they were like, yours are wrong. Yours are so wrong. It's brilliant. It's intense. I don't want to work hard for a TV show, right? I just want it to be satisfying. I want to turn it on. I want to understand it. And I want it to be satisfying. And it was not.
I don't want to be Googling acronyms every 2 seconds.
Yeah. And I'm not watching it with my phone. I'm concentrating. I'm paying attention. And I'm still just, I need someone to be like, explain it to me. But I just think it's not. They're trying to make it too clever. It's not as intense and brilliant as they're making it out to be. That's my two cents.
And like, well, the
live
early
here
seasons
on the Creep Dive,
and definitely
from
not
Cassie
too clever,
the third.
I understood them.
The earlier seasons are absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant, and they have done the dirty on us. Well, I'm glad now. Thank you, Cassie, because you've saved me an hour.
You saved me my whole life. Haven't watched a single
episode.
No,
I mean, I think you'd watch it. Like, maybe this is it. Maybe it's just the ultimate cock tease. That, like, we're all like, oh, go on, give us another lash there. Give us another 6 episodes and we'll still commit to them as much and live for them. And then we'll be disappointed and we'll wait again for another season. But, like, this season was disappointing. And look, last season was disappointing, if we're honest with ourselves.
I was sure it was Vicky McClure.
But like, there's still so many things that they haven't addressed. Like, we know that Hastings had a laptop where he was communicating with the guys in his room before he gave the 50 grand to your one in Liverpool. And they're not dealing with that at all. They're just not dealing. And there's no plan for a new season. So
you sound very upset. So is this your creep of the week? The writers of the final series of... Yeah,
but it can't be the last season. It hasn't been. It can't be the last season. He has. He's upset us all. And he's tried to be too political and too real. But we don't go to TV for real. We go to TV for escapism. I don't want to be reminded that all of those authoritative figures in our lives are corrupt and power corrupts. That's too sad, Jed. I wanted it to be Hastings.
Oh no, I definitely want it to be Vicky. Vicky McClure. They stopped giving her any kind of personal life after season one. So I was convinced it was her because we'd seen nothing of her joint custody with the kid. We'd seen nothing of anything.
No, none of them have personal life. There's no backstories. The person that held it to his minor drug problem dealt with in this episode.
That he's
getting help.
Kitchenette that he's always hanging out in.
Do you know what?
That spoke to a life of loneliness.
They also, they didn't develop any of the brilliant secondary characters. Like, poor Chloe was the Sherlock Holmes of this season, single-handedly solving the crimes. Single-handedly piecing the puzzle together. And there was no, I remember at the start of the episode, they were like, Chloe, now she's about the same age that D.I. who died, who was framed in season one. You know, whatever. Also, sorry, the most important thing, everyone's going to shut off the creep dive and cancel us now. But anyway, the most fucking lazy bit of TV ever was that they just found a box with all of the murder weapons in it from the previous seasons. All of them. They were like, and in your, they were like, on exhibit A, that has the blood of you're one from season one, and exhibit B, that is the blood of Gail Vella, and exhibit C, that is the blood of whatever. I was like, so someone has a murder box where they're storing all the murder weapons and they've conveniently placed it just slightly below the ground. not even a padlock
beneath the ground. This podcast, I think what we need to do is form a spin-off podcast called Line of Shoot Me, where we just go and bitch Line of Duty out for an hour or so a week. Cassie?
Sounds great.
Absolutely.
Jen?
Who's your creep of the week? For God's sake, get back on track.
Creep, 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 creep of the week. Back on track. Do I have, I've got some creeps of the week for sure. Courtesy of Harry. No less. Okay, sorry, hang on. Now, Harry,
I thought you were
going to
say Harry, no joke. And I was like,
No less.
No less than
no
Harry.
Joke, Harry. So Harry sent this to me. This comes with a warning to listeners because he sent it to the link and just below the link wrote, opportunity to trot out your Australian accent.
Nice.
So, beautiful.
Here we go. This is a story about a man whose name is Dick Pussy.
No. No.
His name is Richard. It might be pronounced Pussy, but I don't fucking want to hear it, okay? I don't want to hear it.
I'm Dick Pussy.
Australian man. He's been jailed for 10 months. You're not going to believe what he did.
It better be sex crime.
No.
Fingers crossed.
Crime against humanity. He filmed 4 dead and dying
police officers
who'd just
fucking
been hit
followed
by
this
a truck.
Case. It is now lose all faith in humanity story stuff. It is the lowest.
Yeah, just put
of the low.
Your faith in the bin. It's over.
Yeah, it's absolutely over. Beyond depressing, isn't it? And guess what his job was?
Oh, I know what his job was. Cassie, do you want to guess?
His job was
It's not like it's the lowest of the low. Like if it was clampers, for example, that'd be pretty fitting.
This is worse.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
What is he? Go on.
He's mortgage broker. Ugh. The lowest.
Why do you think that's so bad?
I've got a friend who got
a great deal because of their mortgage broker.
Mortgage brokers are the OG yoga teachers. Like they're the psychopaths. Just went back to
So what he was charged with and found guilty of is outraging public decency. Isn't that a great sounding charge?
Yes.
And basically it's the first time that that charge has been prosecuted in Australia since 1963 or 1963, if you will. So it Basically, he only got, well, I'll tell you the story first and then I can tell you what he got in prison. So police had pulled him over because he'd been driving, okay, his Porsche, dick, at 93 miles per hour, bigger dick, on a freeway in April last year. They were considering impounding the car. Sorry, I'm laughing because I just said pounding by mistake and then the next word I have to say is pussy. Oh. Sorry. Impounding the sports car because pussy had far exceeded the 100k an hour speed limit, or 62 miles. And so anyway, then a truck crashed into the officers and the Porsche and two other police cars. So it was fucking carnage, right? And so Pussy managed to avoid injury. He avoided injury because he had been taking a piss over in some bushes at the time. And then, instead of helping anyone or calling emergency services, he took out his phone and began filming. Oh, God. And he supplied a profanity-laden commentary. This is according to the journal.ie. He said, he smashed. Oh, this is justice. Absolutely amazing. Beautiful. I think everyone got cleaned up, he says. Jesus. All of this in the footage. And then he goes on to say, I guess I'll be getting an Uber home, huh? Ha, ha, ha. One of five people who were coming to the aid of the officers asked Pussy outright to help. And Pussy said, they did. They did.
They did, mate.
And continued filming. That did
That's the worst bit, I think, because he was sort of filming then the people helping or trying to help the victims. Like, you idiots, they're all dead. He is
dead.
The lowest.
What are you doing, you
of
idiots?
The low. Yeah, one of
totally.
The lowest.
Totally. And he then basically, the families of the police officers had to deal with that information. The secretary of the Victoria Police Association Union described him as a worthless individual.
Yeah, accurate.
And he went on to say, each and every one of us will face our mortality one day. When his day comes, I hope that he faces the same coldness and the same callousness with which he provided my members when they face theirs.
Oh, Sophie, that's good. That is
Thanks.
Good.
And suffice to say, Pussy pleaded guilty to the speeding offences and also possessing ecstasy, which he was tested positive for ecstasy and cannabis right after he had been pulled over. So
it just
was
seems the
fucking
opposite
rolling
of what you'd want
well
to do
as being a total asshole
e and
ecstasy,
having smoked a joint. You're not filming dead people. That's the opposite of the kind of act carry on you'd want to be getting involved in. Like
completely.
Beyond the opposite. So
I
refuse to believe.
Be feeling warm feelings towards your fellow man. If anything.
Yeah, I hate the way they do this catch all just, and by the way, he'd had a joint, and you're like supposed to then conflate the two. I just think that's ridiculous. This guy is a complete scum, and Pussy got pounded in the end.
Totally. And
let's hope
also,
he gets a serious pounding in jail.
He got 10 months, which I
that's nothing.
Not.
That's just
it's
free rent.
Absolutely nothing. The only, I don't know, the truck driver got 22 years. And he's said to have also been under the influence of drugs and sleep deprived.
He got 22 years.
Yeah,
it's all very sad.
He was also, he had charges of drug trafficking as well brought against him. So I think that's all pretty fair. I think the 10 months is total bollocksology. But I suppose, like, Dick Pussy is going to live with that internet search result for the rest of his life. And like, I wouldn't.
And many other results unrelated to him.
Yeah, he's probably well hidden.
Obviously, cleaning toilets, perfectly respectable job. I've had that job myself. But yeah.
Oh man, that's bad. That is a that was a really sad story.
It's really fucked up.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's just a real man. But look, a very small percentage of the world are incredible bastards like that man. And the rest, the vast majority, have some good in them. So let's focus on that. You want to hear my creep for this week? You've definitely come across this.
Yes.
Okay, Russian man trapped on reality TV show in China.
Yes, yes, yes. I love this.
I haven't heard a whiff of it.
27-year-old part-time model. Picture that,
very,
if you will.
Very, very handsome.
Here's his name. Vladislav Ivanov. Nope. Vladislav Ivanov. Right? 27-year-old ride from a place also...
Powerful name.
Like the name of the place he's from is the same as both of his first names, second names, Vladivostok. Right? Let's go with that. And hope the Russians listening forgive me. He was working on a show. He was initially hired as a translator. The show was called Produce Camp 2021. And he was noticed while working on the show because of his incredible good looks. Then he was asked.
I get that all the time.
Me too.
It's awful.
It's awful. So then he was asked, would you like to try a new life by somebody on the production team of the show? And he said to himself, okay. And quickly began to regret that decision. He was unable to leave on his own without breaching his contract and paying a fucking fine. So he signed a contract to sign up for the show, the reality sort of a pop show. And within the contract, you had to stay until you were voted off or pay this fine. And
entered
like,
into the band.
The
it's like pop stars. The pop idol where they made Girls Aloud and the other boy band. That's it. It was all single people auditioning to be put into the band. Yeah, but One Direction were formed as a band at the start and went through the X Factor. But remember that one, like they all performed individually. And then got closer till the winning, till you were in the band. Like Six, like the famous scene where Nadine Coyle couldn't go on and was replaced because she lied about her age, the nation.
What was it again? 50, oh God, I can't even attempt to do her accent. There was a brilliant, maybe Michael Fry did a song about it.
What date of birth did I just give you there?
Yeah. Brilliant, Cassie. So he was trapped, right? And, instead, he decided he would just straight up beg the viewers to send him home. So this is kind of current news. And he was deliberately performing poorly in the hope of being voted off.
The whole thing that
they have to do.
Sing.
They
rap,
had to perform and sing
through loads of different things.
In a group scenario. Wow. Okay. In different kind of like versions of what might be a pop group. So like in a group ensemble. But the whole thing was, you know, that fantastic Mariah Carey clip where she's just half-arsed doing a little dance.
Yes.
That was brilliant. Him for the whole thing.
Okay, so he was, the program concept originated in Korea, pits young performers against each other to train and eventually form, like you say, Cass, an 11-member international boy band chosen by the voting public. I know.
Blazing squad.
Blazing squad.
11 strong.
Yeah, Ivanov and his fellow contestants were sequestered. They were held up in dorm rooms. Their phones were confiscated. It was the whole Big Brother gig. They were not allowed to contact anyone from outside the show.
Russian sleep experiment.
Exactly. So he, what was his stage name was Lelouch. Sexy. So Ivanov told viewers, don't love me, you'll get no results, and repeatedly pleaded with people to vote him off. So his first song was a half-hearted Russian rap in stark contrast to the hype hop. So the rest of the competitors were like, hype hop, you know, I guess, but upbeat, not him. So he says, please don't make me go to the finals, I'm tired. And then he says, I hope the judges won't support me, while the others want to get an A, I want to get an F, as it stands for freedom. So he was just pleading away here on every single show, asking for people to stop voting. But he was propelled through 3 months of competitions and 10 episodes, plus supplemental digital content. A fan base, which had taken to his grumpy-like vibes, basically this was kind of, it was failing so badly that now that he had this kind
they
of huge
him.
Wealth of fans loving his grumpy anti-celebrity,
he
was negging them. So they were driving him forward. And Let's see now. So others called him the most miserable wage slave and celebrated him as an icon of something called Zhang culture, which is a Chinese millennium concept of having a sort of defeatist attitude towards life. I'm reading that as a kind of goth.
Yeah.
Love it.
This whole like anti-establishment turning against the machine sort of attitude, which is inspirational.
It is. So he made it to the final. He grumpily ate a lemon on camera and said that he hoped people would not support him yet again. He says directly to camera, "I'm not kidding." Deadpan. So he was finally released, voted off in the final episode, which aired last Saturday. "I'm finally getting off work," he posted on his Weibo account the next day. So huge, incredible amounts of people flocking to his Weibo, which I think is a Chinese version of, is it their Chinese Facebook?
Like Facebook or some type of platform.
And WhatsApp. Mm. So wait for this. So his departure was viewed on that website more than 180 million times and reposted more than 60,000. Isn't that fucking crazy? Including by the Russian embassy. "Congrats, have a good rest," says the Russian embassy after having not helped him whatsoever. Exactly.
Job done.
That is so good.
There was also a call for his release and various hashtags trying to save him. But the question is, like, what the hell is he going to do now? I mean, he has all this fame. He has absolutely no appetite for doing anything at all. So he was originally hired as a translator, Grant, but he, before that, had a job as a part-time model and had an agent. But according to his agent, the first and only modeling job he got in Hong Kong, he sent an SOS text message 5 minutes in saying he couldn't stand it any longer. "I'm leaving." So basically, that's Ivanov. And who knows what he's going to do now?
The part-time model.
Just the part-time model.
I just keep just thinking of the Flight of the Conchords song, part-time model. Such a good song.
Very good. So it reminded me as well of something we talked about before. Remember the Truman Syndrome? And I went down then a deep... Do you remember talking about this? So this is a type of... Some delusional patients may believe that they're trapped in a reality TV show. One man in New York once showed up at a federal building asking for release from the reality show he was sure was being made of his life. So this Truman Show syndrome... This is
amazing. I've met so many people who believe their lives are... There's no way to convince someone that their life isn't the Truman Show.
What do you mean?
When I had my first breakdown, that was a big part of my delusion stuff, was that I believed everyone was actors.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
coined the Truman Show, of course, after the movie, but obviously it existed in some fashion beforehand, but it was just summed up beautifully by the movie. But what a terrible, it sounds fucking horrendous. But, you know, there you go. But there is so much. So you may or may not have listened to my jaw walking episode Creep to Creep. But on that, I talked a bit about this show that was another reality show. It was kind of like a once off. And it was made by Discovery and it was called Eaten Alive. And it was made by this guy who was a convert. What do you call that word where you're trying to conserve? Conservationist himself, and wanted, according to him, draw attention to the Amazon and the plight of, you know, forestry, people cutting down, destroying the Amazon. Mm-hmm. And in order to do this, he had this great idea that he would be filmed being swallowed whole by an anaconda.
And amazing.
Yeah, so he was going to be filmed for this, and he went, sorry, I'm repeating my own story and I don't know why. I think I'm just talking about reality things now, but I just really want to talk about it more, and now that you're here to talk about it with me, great. Anyway, so he got kitted up, oxygen tank on, right, huge set of people there, safety gear, everything. They'd earmarked this like 9 foot long female anaconda that they reckoned was going to do the job. So they found her. They positioned him. They covered him in pig's blood and said, just do a bit of writhing around on the floor there. Sorry, he also had a lot of body armor on. And so he's riling around. Your one had obviously eaten fairly recently, so she wasn't sort of biting, and until he started prodding her. And didn't she then go directly for his head? Clamped on. This is how they kill you. They wrap their body around you. And wait for this. They don't squeeze. They wait for you to exhale and then they tighten. Do you get me?
Oh,
so you kill yes. yourself.
Crafty. By,
isn't that tremendously horrific? Anyway, this fucking docuseries rolls for 180 minutes. Nothing happens for 160 minutes. Nothing at all. Then the last 20 minutes, this event happens. So he's in her mouth. His head is in her mouth. He said he could feel afterwards both his shoulders, because she had constricted him around the shoulders, begin his arms, his forearms begin to bend, and he feels, he was like, these things are going to fucking pop. And yeah. He tapped out like 3 minutes into being swallowed. And I can't remember why I'm telling you. Go listen to the little episode for the rest of the story. But it's fucking...
Yeah, yeah.
And Jaw Walking is the name of their, of what, when the snakes do the whole dislocating, you know, both sides of the jaw and walk their jaw down an object.
Oh, isn't that 100 so creepy?
Times the size of their head. It's amazing. Sorry, that was all over.
If you were going to be a killer animal, which one would you like to be?
100% whale, orca.
A killer whale.
Yeah.
Mm. What about you? I think something in the sea also, because the rest of the time when you're not killing people, you'd just be out in the sea. Just be a day
floating
out.
Floating around. Much. Yeah. Jumping. And no hassle if you're kind of good at killing things.
No.
I like the idea of being a honey badger, but have they ever vicious. Sealed the deal and killed anyone?
Oh, I'm sure they have. So let me just do a quick check.
But you'd have to also, you'd be eating trash. You know, you have to like...
Ah, yeah.
Sure, what else are you doing?
It's good enough for the Manson girls, it's good enough for me.
I just put in just honey badger kills and man. And yes, I'm getting hits. Deadly honey badger kills man recently in a Botswana.
Tuesday. All right.
Yeah, it's happened. So it has happened.
Beautiful. Give me, I want to be the honey badger. I want to be Stoffel, very nice. Particularly. Mm. That is reference to a brilliant Jen O.D.W., Y-R.
Back no, in the day,
Jen,
Stoffel.
W-Y-E-R. E-R?
Yeah. Play to
oh, Stoffel. Because I like his energy. I want to make like a kind of a meme, maybe like, you know, walking into Monday like Stoffel.
Yeah.
You know?
In
fact, creeps, get in touch with your memes of walking into Monday like Stoffel.
Have we ever had an illustration of Stoffel?
Yeah, Jenny's definitely done one in her, I'm sure of it. Get in
the
touch.
Notebook.
I have a vague memory of Jenny doing it. I shall look back. But guys, I watch. Do you know who is Stoffel in human form? Liam Gallagher.
Mm.
I watched that documentary.
No way. He's way too lethargic.
Oh, he's not. He's a little beast. He's an aggressive runt of the litter. And that's the kind of energy you need in a man-eating animal. You need the rage. You're born into rage. And that desperation to prove yourself. Anyway, whatever. That's my creep. What do you guys have for
Love
us?
Love it.
Okay, I am back on a train of finding creeps who have stolen people's identities. It's Woo-hoo! One of my favorite creeps. I've got a few stories lined up around the theme and I'm excited for them. And the first one I am going to tell you is the story of Rika Okada. So this is a story, you know, when like people get in touch with you on Facebook that you were in school with and you maybe don't want to see, but then enough time has passed. You're like, okay, it's been 20 years. Maybe we can go for a casual pint. Might be funny. Don't. This is a story in why you should not reconnect with people from school. Okay.
Is this a story about not giving someone a second chance?
No. Just don't. First of all, just don't be on Facebook. Like, who's on Facebook? But don't accept friend requests from people who are, sorry, you're like, an ambassador, but don't accept Facebook requests from people you were in school with. Like, do you really need to know what they're doing with their lives?
Curiosity might kill the cat,
and it did for Rika. Well, great segue. Okay, so in March 2014, 29-year-old Rika Okada was working as a nurse in Osaka when she got a friend request from an old pal from her elementary and high school. Her name was Yuri Oshia. So Yuri had actually been born in Brazil, but was of Japanese descent. Her family had gone to Brazil in the early 1900s. After slavery was banned in Brazil, the country needed people to work in the coffee plantations. But because of poor working conditions and low wages, the Europeans did not want to go to Brazil. And Japanese people who needed jobs and economic survival couldn't go to America or Australia because of laws banning non-whites. So they ended up going to Brazil. So Yuri's family had been part of the people who had gone over to Brazil. And when she was a child, so she had been born in Brazil, I think. Or her family, she had connections. I'm not sure whether she was born in Brazil or Japan. But Yuri's family spent her childhood in Japan, in the Nishari ward of Osaka, which is close to where Rika was. And that's how she got to know Rika. They were in the same elementary school and same junior high school. But in high school, Yuri decided to move back to Brazil and attend high school over there. Now, interesting fact, and I did not know this till I was researching the story. Japan only allows one citizenship. So Yuri had to decide between Japan and Brazil by the age of 18. Yes, it's this thing. So it's a person who possesses Japanese and a foreign nationality. So a person of dual nationality needs to choose one nationality before he or she reaches 22 years of age, or within 2 years after the day that they acquired the second nationality.
Well, now.
So interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Strange.
And annoying.
Very annoying. Very, very annoying. Yeah. So Yuri decided to pursue Brazilian citizenship. So she went over there for high school, lived over there. And then when she was 20, she decided she wanted to return to Japan. But she realized when she got back that it was really hard to find a good job because she had given up her citizenship. And that meant that she was only on a temporary visa in Japan. She couldn't find a well-paying job and ended up working in supermarkets and convenience stores to get by. She lived in Tokyo with a Chinese roommate. And she was pretty isolated. So she had been on bad terms with her family and hadn't been in contact with them since she was kind of 17, 18. And her only real friend was this Chinese roommate. So in 2013, when her roommate said that she was planning to return to China after being offered a job for a Japanese company in Shanghai, Yuri decided that she wanted to go to China with her. So she would later tell the police that I was feeling lonely and I wanted to go study advertising and get a better job in China. But Yuri was in debt and couldn't afford to go to China and had been denied permanent residency in Japan. So she was actually illegally in Japan at the time, having overstayed her temporary visa. So this is a problem that many people apparently encounter in Japan. And generally what they would do is forge passports so that she, because she couldn't legitimately leave Japan. So she was going to try and forge her own passport. And then she was thinking of different ways to get out of the country. And that's when she went to Facebook to research passport forgery and routes of how to get out of Japan. And she came across Rika. So she thought that maybe it would be better to just find someone who was around her age, who didn't have a passport and she could apply for a passport in their name, who didn't need to leave the country, and to just assume their identity, get the passport and be able to leave Japan.
Okay.
And also buying a Nagin in 1997.
Yeah. Because also the cost of a forged passport was like sensational. It was incredible. And she had no money, was already in debt. So she needed to find someone who was single, easy to target, as well as someone who had never left Japan previously. And Rika was the perfect target. She lived alone. She was working as a nurse. She didn't have a passport and had no intention of leaving the country. So using Line, which is the Japanese version of WhatsApp, Yuri reached out to Rika in January of 2014 and told her she was back in Japan. It had been 10 years since they had known each other, but Yuri said that she was going to be in Osaka and would Rika like to go and meet her for dinner. So Rika was like pleasantly surprised to receive the message and agreed to meet, and got in touch with two other former classmates, and the four of them got together in a local izakaya, which is a Japanese pub. So on the 1st of February 2014, an excited Rika posted a message on her Facebook saying, "I'm going to meet my elementary school classmates this evening. It has been 10 years since we last met." And after the meeting, she posted a picture of the four of them at the table together.
Lovely.
Lovely. Nice little catch up. But it was while at dinner, Yuri started thinking that perhaps she could just kill Rika. But she hadn't planned any of the details yet, because then she could fully take her identity and not be worried about anything, and take her credit cards and yada yada yada, like not just apply for a passport in her name, but fully assume Rika's identity.
So are we to believe she just thought of that on the meeting, or this wasn't?
So she says whilst at dinner, she just started thinking about it. She just like it hit her like a moment of inspiration. She was having a little beer, and she's like, "Ah, I could just kill this person." Problem solved.
Yuri probably expressed dissatisfaction with Line of Duty, and Rika said, "You know what?
Enough is enough."
I think she was probably at the dinner and she was like, I need this person for a passport. And then at some point decided that, or I'm not victim shaming here, but probably decided that Rika was a melt and was like, I'm just going to kill her and take her identity. Right? Not the way to go about anything, obviously. Do not kill your friends. Do not contact your elementary school friends. But that night, Rika invited Yuri back to stay in her place. So she went and stayed in Rika's home and then went back to Tokyo. So it was back in Tokyo, back with her Chinese roommate.
Weird. Imagine having a sleepover with someone that you had now decided to kill.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Very, very strange. Very, very strange. So Yuri's roommate was moving out and Yuri was left alone. And she decided it was time to start moving on her plan, getting her exit out of Japan sorted. So on March 20th, 2 weeks after Yuri's visit, Rika posted a message on Facebook saying, I just had a very unpleasant experience and I'm shaking with anger. So they don't really know what the source of that anger was, but it seems to be from friends of Rika's. It seems that Yuri reached out to her and asked her, could she come and stay again and stay with her for a little while?
Okay.
So the next day on the 21st of March, Yuri had decided that she was definitively, absolutely, 100% going to kill Rika. So she went and she bought a knife at a home improvement store and went to Rika's home.
She forced herself into Rika's home.
Yeah. But she refused. So she didn't necessarily have to force her way in. Yuri was a bit like, oh, I don't want you here. But Rika got her way in and refused to leave. And Rika had been described
as quiet. We've all had that friend.
Oh, absolutely. So Yuri ended up staying the night that night. But the next day, Rika sent a message to her friend saying, Yuri showed up at my place last night and she just refuses to leave. And so Rika was encouraged to go and confront her and get her to leave. But Yuri had the knife in her bag. And when Rika tried to ask her to leave or whatever, she ended up stabbing her, killing her. What? She said to police afterwards that, I don't remember what happened, but I stabbed her over and over again. 50 times, to be exact.
Jesus!
She did not think this thing through at all. God.
No, it gets real loose.
There was no consideration with the body dump here. She hadn't even thought of it.
Listen to this. It gets stranger, right? So Yuri then decided to clean up the blood from Rika's body, wiped the knife, and tried to remove any trace of the crime from Rika's home. She cleaned up any online trace by deleting the post about Rika being angry 2 days previously, then sent a text from Rika's phone to work saying that she was sick and wouldn't be coming in. Okay. There was no face then. So the rest day, Rika was actually quite active on social media. So she posted a lot of her food, posted a lot of updates throughout the day. So people started growing suspicious when she hadn't posted anything during the day. But her friends, friends were trying to reach out to her on social media and couldn't get in touch with her, and they were growing more and more suspicious. But when Rika's parents were sending messages, Yuri was replying to them as Rika, hoping to prolong anyone knowing that Rika was missing. Someone from Rika's work came.
How fucked up is this?
Yeah, someone from Rika's work came to do a home visit, but they reported that no one's home. And then when the landlord was sent over, Yuri was in the house, called back pretending to be Rika, saying that she was sick in bed and couldn't open the door. But it wasn't enough to deter Rika's parents, and they reported Rika missing at the end of March when she hadn't showed up for work for a few days and could not be reached by phone to chat.
Meanwhile, what was going on? She was just there in the apartment with the body.
Yeah. So after.
Sorry, I'm
so after
water.
Rika's. She used Rika's phone to call in sick. She turned off Rika's phone, stole her bag and wallet and credit cards. And on the 23rd of March, called a moving company. So about 2 days later, to pick up a package from Rika's home. The caller said that she was Rika and used Rika's credit card to pay for the delivery, but had used Rory, it was obviously Rory, Yuri, and Yuri used the delivered her own phone number as the contact number.
Uh-oh.
So here's what she did. She drained the blood from Rika's body and then wrapped Rika's body in soft bubble wrap, placed it in a cardboard box 6 feet long, and it in total weighed about 50 kilos after she drained the blood, and labeled it as a life-sized human doll.
Which here would raise some eyebrows, but maybe overseas might be a regular-ish occurrence.
In Japan, seemed to just be life-size human doll, fragile, right? And this is where it gets strange.
Rug.
Yes.
But I mean, it's going to be scanned. It's going to be scanned. So when it doesn't match,
they'll see it.
They saw the outline of the body.
Oh, really, they'll see the outline, so it won't be like an X-ray.
Yeah, I think they just kind of, I don't know how it works. Anyway, got through the postal system.
Sent to where?
Got through delivery system. So this is the strange thing. She posted it back to her apartment. So she posted it.
Oh my God.
Yuri posted it to herself. And
Yuri,
the label on the thing
said,
handle.
You're not good at this, Yuri.
No. So then she went back. She then raced the package back to Tokyo, which was delivered a day later. Then she hid the body in her apartment for a month and then rented a storage locker, paid for using Rika's credit card near her home, and moved Rika's body there in the late April.
Okay, so by now it fucking stinks.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just all great.
Only so and then, much bubble wrap can achieve.
Really?
She's so if she now uses Rika's passport to leave the country, surely that'll set off some kind of alert.
Yeah, she's also applying for credit cards in Rika's name. Used her health card to get the certificate needed to apply for a passport, used a photo of herself and made a passport in the name of Rika. And it was later reported that she spent about $1 million, about $10,000, both in Japan and Shanghai, on hotels, clothes and other goods. So she's just living. She's living Rika's
time.
Best life, but Rika's dead.
Can I suggest that Rika, that she always hated Rika? Like, this is not just something. This feels like a
But if they only knew each other
grudge.
So young, like, they would have lost. I mean, still, what's junior high? Like, up to 10, 12? Like,
still,
they were kids.
I mean,
there's no reason.
A borrowed pencil, never returned, can harbor
a dried
feelings.
Out marker.
Yeah, yeah.
Those kids
absolutely.
Who just left
a
the markers
pen.
Off. Yeah.
Everyone enjoys a pen.
Or the ones who took the markers and ran them until they frayed. You know, like, aggressively use your markers.
Yeah, you're not putting the lids back on my Crayola? I'm going to fuck you up, bitch.
And then it's dried and frayed? Oh, God.
No.
R.I.P. those people. So she had moved the body to a storage locker so that her roommate who was in China would not return and see it. But the roommate did come back for a visit, and Yuri decided that that would be the time when she was returning to China. That would be the perfect time for her to also move to China. So she purchased a plane ticket using a credit card in Rika's name, and along with her friend decided to head off, which was the 3rd of May 2014. She got a flight from Tokyo to Shanghai, but was stopped by Shanghai officials and detained for suspected illegal entry into China. She said she was given consent by Rika to use the passport, but then eventually things got overwhelming and she turned herself into the Japanese consulate and was held by authorities. Back in Osaka.
Consent by Rika? That is just still not how a passport works,
no,
love.
Not at all. So meanwhile in Osaka, the disappearance of Rika was being investigated. The police found bloodstains with DNA matching Rika in her apartment, but were able to trace the body and found Rika's, they obviously traced what had happened with the credit card statements and all that kind of stuff, and found it in the storage locker, because the storage locker, of course, had been paid for using Rika's credit card. Using fingerprint, they found rakes of fingerprints from Yuri in the package. So there's a warrant sent out for Yuri for the robbery and use of Rika's credit cards, as well as for the murder of Rika Okada. But there's no extradition treaty between Japan and China. So she was over there in China, and because
Free.
She was a Brazilian, they were going to extradite her back to Brazil. So it took nearly 2 years for the Japanese government to successfully plead for Yuri to be sent back to Japan. Finally, in 2016, the Chinese Supreme Court agreed and sent her back. So on January 2017, she was brought back to Osaka and arrested for theft and the murder of Rika, as well as fraud for creating credit cards and a passport in Rika's name. Originally, Yuri refused to cooperate with the police and said that she had nothing to say. Very line of duty, no comment. But she later confessed to the whole thing. The trial began in 2019. She admitted to killing Rika, but her defense team claimed that she suffered from psychological illness. And her defense team argued that she should not be punished and should not be held fully criminally liable due to diminished mental capacity. However, prosecutors pointed out that many steps were taken to hide the body, including packaging it,
yes,
transporting it, and then hiding it in a storage locker. Many actions, yes, including preventing the discovery of the crime by sending messages from Rika's phone and impersonating Rika to avoid detention, showed that Yuri had the ability to judge good and bad behavior. She was sentenced, uh-oh, to life in prison in March 2019, but appealed the decision. Higher courts also decided to uphold the sentence, and the Supreme Court dismissed her appeal, finalizing her life sentence. After the trial, Yuri made... Go on.
Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry.
She just made a statement afterwards saying, "I am sorry. I am sad and sorry for my actions and for causing so much trouble to so many people."
Unbelievable fuckery.
Trouble. Yuri, yeah, that isn't trouble. You didn't cause trouble. You fucking wrecked
ruined
lives.
It's murder.
Like, took a life and ruined lives.
Bastard.
Oh my God. I was going to say, like, it seems a bit like they're conflating just being quite shit at the crime,
yes,
to diminished mental capacity.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly so. Oh, listen. Good enough for
her. She just wasn't
Rita.
Good at it, guys. Oh my God. That's what a story. That is mad.
There's so many other ones I have coming now on assumed people robbing identities. I think it's a theme that we haven't fully explored on the creep.
Here's
side.
Something
There's
we need to
wealth.
Fully explore. Did you either of you get involved with the documentary series that I need you both to watch called Q Into the Storm on HBO? Please, for the love of fucking God, watch that documentary. It
okay.
I've watched
is.
The first episode.
Okay, first
where
episode
did you find it?
Torrent, girl. Just use your fingers and do the torrenting.
Shit.
Do you need a? I
would
will
feel
I give
bad,
you a class?
Except that we know HBO is good for.
No,
us.
I know how to do the torrent thing, but I can't do it on my work laptops because one
That's
time
right,
I did a torrent and I downloaded
it.
Thing. All right, okay,
send
I'll
her the
have
link.
It, I'll have send me
yeah,
the link.
Yeah, I'll
I'll
send
get
you
onto
link.
It today.
Listeners to the Creep Dive will, you will absolutely squirt your beans off looking at this shit. It is fucking mind-blowingly good documentary, and as a result, now I'm following on Twitter all the guys in the show that have been interviewed, and it's ongoing. It's absolutely genius.
Brilliant.
You gotta watch it. You gotta get in.
Now what side do you stand on? I feel like you're the kind of person who'd log on there now and pretend to be Q for a bit of a laugh and not realize you're destroying the world.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I 100%
you're
would
to be radicalized.
Yeah, definitely okay. I am so, and I was watching it, so much of that Ashley O'Loughlin stuff on her, and I was watching it, you know, in the same way in a car crash kind of TV stuff, and I was watching and watching and watching and reading the comments, and then slowly my mind started to rationalize what I was watching. I started to get why she might be saying, and I was like, holy, this is how it happens. If you just get immersed in something, it will soak into your
yeah.
skin.
And small insidious comments from people that yes. you trust that you don't associate with the alt-right, but they say stupid things, and then it's backed
totally.
Up elsewhere, and then confirmation bias, like yeah. your Lord, Joe Rogan, telling people
yes.
not to get
oh, well,
vaccinated.
I absolutely still, and I listened to that whole fucking 2.5 hour show with Maddie Matheson, who I love. And that's where he said what he said about teenagers not bothering, or if you're healthy, you needn't get vaccinated, which is completely ridiculously wrong. But Joe is historically stupid, and so
yeah.
it's so totally on brand with him. So if you're
but
kind
you
of
can
regular
see how
listener,
some...
you're just nodding along like, yeah, Joe Rogan.
Oh, here you go,
stupid.
But that's because you can critically examine what you're listening to. Like you have enough life experience to say that's wrong because you're 42, but someone who's 17 listening doesn't.
Yes. I guess.
So they don't, but they don't critically engage with it. And you can stop and say, I know that that's ridiculous. And I'm hearing this because of this. And I'm aware of this whole system. like the way you can acknowledge that you were rationalizing things. But the problem is that so many people don't consume the media like that. They just take it at face value, and it's dangerous.
Dangerous.
But I found myself nearing the end of the first episode and being like, what if these people, what if it pans out that they're all right? Like, people thought Area 51 was not true, and we know it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's that, and that's the terrifying
I love
thing
you
because
both just accepting that statement as yes.
Well, yeah, but sure.
The
terrifying thing
is
you can't defend authorities either. Like, you can't say that we are not being manipulated by the media, because we are, but it's not to the point of like political persuasion. But also we just have to really interrogate all of the information we receive from all sources, and the onus is on us to go back and back it up. But it is really challenging. We live in the most intensely dangerous time for people who consume media. And then
think this documentary is so particularly interesting, because it doesn't just talk about the faceless posters and the anonymity of the internet. We're getting an insight, we're getting a visual of the people who are starting 4chan, 8chan, and 8kun then. And they are, and here we can see them. And now we can see what might drive them. And now we have an understanding of where this information might come from, and that's very fucking helpful.
Mm. It's amazing. I never knew 4chan was like started by a 19-year-old.
Oh yeah.
How much sense does that make?
But he's a genius and continues to be one.
But it's even so, even regardless of what your intellect is like at 19, you know, your emotional maturity is probably that of a 19-year-old.
Completely
right. 22-year-old.
But then, it was all hung, kind of all of it hung on the hook that was free speech. But then at the kind of 4chan days, nothing had physically happened really as a result of this free speech and these kind of gangs of people agreeing with each other and all these various boards talking shit. It just felt like shit talking. And then stuff started to happen in real life. And that is where we are now. And that's because it did feel back then when
and
we were all just
were
shit talking across
local
MSN and across fucking early days Reddits and, you know, just forwarding these terrible
shit. But things
shite
were happening on a local level, like initially. And even that wasn't enough for it to matter yet, really, to even mainstream media and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, like when people would be doxxed and kind of hunted down for, you know, I remember that guy who was like tormenting his cat.
Yes,
he
that's
was
right.
hunted down by 4chaners and stuff. And now it's obviously like happening on this global level. And I guess it was nobody saw the potential. They didn't believe it could get so big. And it's totally wild. And
stay
then
with
I
the
opened
documentary
my
stuff.
Book last night when I got to bed. I was on page 17. It's all fucking true. It's fucking true. But you know what? The one thing, they let themselves down. Because like Cassie said, it's very convincing. Because we do know that there is a hidden world order. And we know that there is so much corruption that our tiny minds can't even really conceive of it. However, with the baby eating, they always take it there, and that's where they do.
And they undermine their own
the
argument. Yeah,
they do.
But I think to bring this episode full circle, maybe it isn't that there is one secret world order, but that there is power corrupts, and there is people operating positions of power that just are slightly corrupt and make decisions based on their own bias and protecting their own communities of billionaires. Mm-hmm. And that is why we live in a corrupt society. We are working on a really great podcast about all of this called End of the World via the Internet, and it explains everything. Amelia is putting it together, and it'll be released in June, and I've announced that now to the world.
So it has to happen.
That's a hard deadline.
And in the meantime, watch this show. Watch Q Into the Storm. And they later on in the episodes, guys, so you're through maybe episode 3 around there, they interview the head of Anonymous and that movement. And do you remember that?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
it's like rabbit holes. If anybody wants to consume this as a podcast version, the New York Times rabbit hole, I've listened to it maybe 3 times. It's a good podcast.
And it goes further. It goes further than rabbit hole. It is so brilliant.
Beautiful.
Anyway, check it all out.
I have
look at all
one, I like to kind of see us out. I have one thing that isn't a million miles from this in terms of this is potentially fake news, but okay. I'm just going to go with it because you'll see why. And I came across it. I can't, it's so annoying. I can't find where I got it from in the end, but I thought it was in the comments on the journal, the comments on that guy who filmed the police officers, but now I can't find where I got it from. Perhaps Q.
What are you doing in the comment section of the journal, you sadist?
Oh, I love it. I always need to check in on Me So Horny and see how the whole gang is. You know, I just love them. So, okay, here we go. Tell me, now you may have heard this before because it's an old story. 2007, guys. Oh my God. Oh my God, wait. If you divide 2 by 1 and add 7. Okay. Irish donkey sex case. Shots net.
Okay. No. Very excited.
Netizens. This is such, that's such a 2007 phrase. Netizens have reacted with a mixture of horror and disbelief to a story which recently appeared on the Galway First website. So that's galwayfirst.ie. So the headline was, "Lonely man brought donkey to hotel room, court told."
Has to have been first floor. You couldn't get that thing down a flight of stairs.
I mean, into a lift, I guess. Other than definitely a lift. Get it into a lift. Okay. A man who was found dressed in latex and handcuffs brought a donkey to his room in a Galway city centre hotel because he was advised to, quote, get out and meet people. No. The local court heard
fake news. This has to be fake news. I can't listen to this.
Don't ruin it. Thomas Aloysius McCarney, with an address in South Galway, was charged with cruelty to animals, lewd and obscene behaviour, and with being a danger to himself when he appeared before the court on Friday. He was also charged with damage to a minibar in the room, but this charge was later dropped when the defendant said that it was actually the donkey who caused that damage. Yeah. Solicitor for the accused said her client had been through a difficult time lately. His wife had left him and he'd become increasingly lonely, which is sad.
Yeah.
That was when he began attending counselling, and it was there that he was told he should get out and meet people and do interesting things.
Okay.
It was this advice that saw him book into the city centre hotel with a donkey. She also added, this could be the moment. She added, Mr. Carney also suffered from a fixation with the Shrek movies. And could constantly be heard at work talking to himself, saying things like, isn't that right, donkey?
Oh, God.
Superintendent John McBrearty. I read this to Seb and he was like, these names fake are names. Fake. So John McBrearty told the court that Thomas Aloysius McCarney had signed in on the hotel register as Mr. Shrek.
Oh, yeah.
And told staff that the donkey was a family pet and that this was believed by the hotel receptionist because, according to the superintendent, she was young and hadn't great English.
Okay.
Now, I think there's a ring of truth here in that quote because that's very Irish way of phrasing it. She hadn't great English.
That is an Irish phrasing. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So are we to believe that some young person whose English is their second language was manning the desk of some hotel somewhere, just, and then this man, now calling back to what you first said. Galway City Centre. And did you say that he arrived in latex gear with the donkey? Yeah.
No,
you did.
You said he
started up. Okay, because I really pictured him walking in a gimp costume.
Me too.
Let me go back to the first paragraph.
And everyone's like, Sir Shrek.
He was found
in the latex in the hotel room. Okay, so then.
So there's no way you're going to stop this guy, basically. If you were, let's say you were in Brazil and then you were like, 20 years old and this is your gig. You're like, okay, I'm just manning this fuck. You're going to let anything happen.
Yeah,
this is not her fault.
This is not her fault, especially because. When he arrived in with the donkey to the reception desk, he told her it was a breed of, quote, super rabbit.
What?
We which he was bringing to a pet fair in the city.
Okay, all yeah. seems kosher. Yep.
All fine. If you think about a donkey's ears, you can no. see it a little bit.
She was told to
that the donkey went berserk in the middle of the night and ran amok in the hotel corridor, forcing staff to call the Gardaí.
Of course it did.
That was when he was found in the room wearing a latex suit and handcuffs. Christ. And also, it was believed that the key to the handcuffs had been swallowed by the donkey.
By the donkey. This fucking donkey has been traumatized. Broke free of...
Yes.
Okay, woke up. Everything seemed fine. They watched a shit movie on TV. Everything was grand. They were going to the fair the next day. Donkey's eyes crack open at 3 a.m. Your man's standing there in a gimp mask. She freaks out, bursts out the hotel door. And this is how it happened. So let's hope he didn't get nearer.
Yeah, definitely let's hope so. So obviously that has an update to it, actually.
Great.
I'm reading this from a screen grab that's appeared on another site called theregister.com. Very legit. Very legit. And they contacted Galway first, the first place that it was reported. And one of the journalists there got back and said that the man at the centre case was heavily fined. He is rumoured to be now bankrupt. Now, the fine was only €2,000. But who knows where he was at in his personal life at the time.
Yeah.
I think safe to say, not great. That could have been had financial causes. Anyway, most importantly, says Galway First Keith Lynch, we have highlighted a serious issue. Donkey crimes like this are all too common in Ireland's West.
No.
It's a damning indictment of the West of the country.
Damning.
If you're from the West of Ireland, get in touch.
Where are you going?
You can defend your province or you can bring us more evidence of this all too common crime. So who
knows?
Fucking knows. But god damn it, that super rabbit story is an excellent cover. I think we can all agree.
That's a lesson for us all. When you're lying, just go for it.
Donkeys do have long ears though, don't they?
They do.
Well, exactly,
they do.
That's what I said.
But the hooves,
and you never
guys.
Know. He might have put a little cotton bud, you know, the cotton buds. He might have affixed that to the back of a donkey. Get to the back of the donkey.
Yeah.
Very look, convincing. Very
hopefully
convincing.
All is well with that donkey now. What an ass, though. Irresistible.
Bum.
Bravo, Jennifer O'Dwyer.
We will see you IRL on Thursday. Our live show is back. And we'll three of us be in attendance. And it's going to be fan-dabba-dozy. So if you're a patron, see you there.
And see all of the creeps. And
you
if
know where
never
to find
come,
us. Yes, exactly.
If you're new
come,
and you've
you're
never
a patron
come.
And you've thought, like, I'd go, but it just sounds too intense and sounds like
it
I'd
is
be showing
intense.
Up and everyone would be staring at me. Come. You can keep your camera off. You don't have to take part in the chat box. You can just
we prefer
observe.
It when people are silent.
Cassie prefers when we're silent.
I actually prefer when the Shut whole up. Thing is silent and we just look at each other. Nobody
yeah, it's
has
just
to
like
talk.
A silent rave only.
And everyone closes
podcast.
Their eyes.
Everyone just tunes
and
in
we meditate.
To their personal. Yes, everyone tunes into their personal favorite podcast and we just share a communal experience.
We do nothing, but you still give us your money. That is my preferred way of being. But for some
well,
peace and joy.
For now. Thank you all for coming.
Thank
see
you
on
so
Thursday.
Much.
Or see you next whatever
see
Tuesday.
Next
bye.
Week.
Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.